Welcome to the Angular Plus Show, where app developers of all kinds share their insights and experiences. Let's get started.
So, yeah, basically, I just sat there, like, honestly, freaking out. Like, I thought, analyzing literally everything I was saying. My family was playing Cards Against Humanity, and I had luckily okay. been like, I think I'll just watch this time. I won't be awkward at all. But then, like, anytime I said anything, I'm like, am I talking too loud? Was that weird and out of character? Does everybody notice? And so I finally, and then for some reason I felt very secretive about it. Like, I didn't want to tell anyone what I had done.
You didn't tell anybody. You just roll in.
Yeah, like just... I'm just like in like crazy squirrel brain mode. Like I can't imagine what my pupils looked like. Like I looked crazy. I felt crazy. Like I felt completely out of control.
Do you think anybody noticed? Like in hindsight, do you think anybody noticed, or was it all in your head?
No, I finally remembered like several hours in when I'm just like, I don't know if I can take this anymore. That I like my husband and I can trust him with things.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I got him in the bathroom. I'm like, honey.
In the bathroom? You're like, come here.
I turn on the fan, you know, shut the door, turn on the fan. And I'm like, I ate one of those Delta 8 gummies and I'm not okay.
I'm not okay. I'm freaking out, man.
So, and that's when I remembered that I can't do that sort of stuff because my brain is wired backwards.
Just doesn't work.
No.
But you were hoping, I think you were, when you started the story, you were hoping this was going to kind of like, you know, it's like a family. Like sometimes family can be tough around for some people. Yeah, like we all have different relationships with our family and stuff. And so sometimes it's like, I kind of want to just like a little, take the old edge off, if you will.
I'll just like relax a little. Yeah. Cause I also had like this weird situation with these cats we had been fostering. Like this is me. Now I'm also going to out myself as, I think y'all figured out I'm a crazy cat lady by now, but
I think the listeners know that by now.
But... you probably know that. I had 4 adult cats I had been fostering all summer, and my favorite guy, who was really, really shy when we got him, and he and I were like bonded buds. He had just gotten adopted, and I was panicking and worrying, like, did I do the right thing for him? And then I had somebody who wanted 2 of the other cats, and they wanted to come get him on Thanksgiving. And I'm just like, I can't emotionally
deal on with Thanksgiving.
Right now. I know. I'm like, you have to come tomorrow. Cause I can't deal with, like, it's too much. It actually just kind of made my brain full stop. And so luckily they had agreed to come the next day, but then we still had 1 cat, and I always have like that guilt of like, oh, this cat who's had 3 friends for 6 months is now going to be all alone. And so I was processing all of my anxiety around that. And then just like, family. And then like, you know, just also I'm socially awkward and weird sometimes anyway. And so I thought, I'll just like, I've heard that these gummies, and in the state of Iowa, Delta 8 is legal. So it's like 1 molecule off of THC.
Gotcha.
And so somehow it slips through the cracks, right? Because our governor is like, I'm a recovering alcoholic, therefore no one can have substances.
Gotcha. So
anyways, so so we were like,
how much did you take? Did you think
literally 1 gummy?
Yeah, but how much was in the gummy?
Oh, I don't know.
Did it say like how many milligrams?
1 bear?
How big was the bear?
I had a whole bear's worth. Well, my husband had taken one like a few days before and was like, oh yeah, it just made me kind of feel like I'd had a couple beers or something. And I'm like, that's what I want. So I also don't drink because I get headaches. So I'm like, I'm a very sad person. Like the only thing I think I can take is antihistamines.
Okay. So you pop it, the whole bear in your mouth. You didn't just start with like the head, you know, just like a little nibble.
Well, okay. So to be fair, I ate half of it, and then I did the classic thing when you eat something where you're like, I don't think this is working.
Oh,
I
should eat more. Yes. Yeah. I remember when they first, I used to live in Colorado. I remember when because that was like one of the first states. Mm-hmm. And like, they were having problems because like people were like, I don't know, can you OD on it? I don't know. But anyways, like people were like, you like take a gummy. So they like created like literally like the state created like a marketing campaign to educate the public on how to properly consume like edibles.
Right. We know these edibles. Brownies are delicious. But, like, you really don't want to eat more than one.
They literally have like billboards. Like, I'm not kidding. Yeah. In like Denver, of like take one and then wait. Like, yeah, you like, don't just be like 20 minutes later, be like, yeah, like, I don't feel anything. Like, I'll take another one 20 minutes later. Exactly. I still don't feel anything 20 minutes later. And then 2 hours later, you're like, holy shit.
Oh no, what just happened? So yeah. I may or may not have done that at House on the Rock when I was in college. So
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it's funny how each state has its own thing, right? I saw a political cartoon, and I'm not going into politics here, but I'm going to throw a little fun. I saw a political cartoon in our local newspaper once, because, you know, in Portland and Oregon, it's we're quite liberal with our allowing of the consumption of things. And there was a picture of like a guy snorting cocaine, right?
Yeah.
And then the caption was like, what's illegal in, and you snort cocaine with a straw. And he says, what's illegal in this picture? It's in Oregon, like in, supposed to be in Portland, right? Right. And the answer is the straw.
Well, they don't even know if that straw is made out of paper, like, though. So it might be fine.
Yeah, like, don't climate change. Don't use a straw for your coke. Right, right. You know, use something else. Like, but you can have the coke. Not the straw.
I'm going to need to take dollar the straw bill like a normal you, person.
Hey, that's what I was going to say. Aren't you supposed to be using $100 bills?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. I mean, that's what they do in the movies, right?
That's right. And the movies are always accurate. So
totally accurate. Okay. I'm sure people are entertained by our stories. I'm glad you're okay now. I'm glad you didn't
Me too. I'm glad I learned about this at home as opposed to like on the road somewhere, because I'm imagining the scene.
At least you were like in a safe space, right?
Yeah, like what if I was at like a conference and
just before you right before your talk?
I know, right? And I get out there and I like come out on stage and
Laura,
I'm like,
I think you should take some what is it, Delta 8-9?
Delta 8, yeah.
You should take some Delta 8 at NGConf and we'll all see what happens. We'll all be there for the fun.
If you notice me being extra super weird and like maybe whispering to people, that's definitely what
we'll be on the lookout. All right, let's kick this thing off. Welcome to the Angular Plus Show. We talk a lot about Angular and other things. And I'm going to be your host today, Brian Love. I got Laura Newsom with me. And we also have a guest. We've got Jason Warner. Did I say it right?
You said it 100% correct.
Awesome, man. Welcome to the show. Go ahead and tell the people about yourself.
Yeah, I've been doing Angular for a long time. I moved from Knockout.js to Angular JS Beta. So I've been doing Angular for a long time. More recently, I've gotten into writing blogs for NG Champions, streaming on Twitch,
sweet,
and just being more active in the community. And good things have started to happen. So.
Very cool.
I highly recommend it.
I definitely interact with you on Twitter, and you help host the meetup, the Angular meetup. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the reminder.
You do a few things. You're just a couple. A little busy.
tell us about the meetup. So what is this?
Yeah, it's
before
the Angular community meetup. It started. So Frosty and Joe started the meetup in Utah. And when COVID came, Eric Slack kind of joined the mix and he said, hey, let's move this online.
Okay.
That's where the Angular community meetup was born.
Yeah.
And then, now Brooke is the director and I'm one of the co-organizers. Nice. And recently we just partnered with NGConf. And along with that, we also brought on a Spanish only meetup for Angular, which has been amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah, because I think it's really easy to forget as an English as a first language software engineer that I am very privileged to not only have English be my first language, but also literally all of the content is available in English. I mean, like I go to conferences in Europe and they're literally the CFP is English conference, so it is very limiting for people who don't speak English. So that's awesome that they're taking the time to be able to put that out.
Yeah, we've got some great organizers for Spanish. And I speak Spanish myself, but I don't speak technical Spanish.
Wait, what do you mean by that? You speak Spanish, but not did you like just learn like not from like a classroom perspective or something?
Well, so like conversational Spanish, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But like, we don't use technical terms
and like know right. what time to go someplace, but you don't know yeah. what to call a database or
exactly. Or, you know, how to talk about, data binding in Angular. How do you say that in Spanish? Right.
Right.
Interesting.
And so learning, technical Spanish, the stuff that we say when I'm around my programmer friends and my wife just looks at me like I'm speaking a foreign language.
Yeah.
I know like with, I'm learning German, mm-hmm. like enough so that if I get lost in Germany, I can be helped. But I've noticed that like, some of the terms like laptop is laptop and, mm-hmm. Like some words, just they accept the English word. Is Spanish sort of that way, or have they just gone like, no, we're just gonna, we need our own word.
So Spanish is unique, right? Well, all languages are kind of unique, but the closer you get to the American border, the more English kind of permeates the language, right? Or not mm-hmm. the American, but the US border, right? And so I actually grew up on a potato farm and we had a lot of migrant workers. Shut up.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that, man.
Well, that's why I write code, because getting up early and moving wheel lines is not as much fun as writing code.
Moving wheel lines. Is that the water things that I see out in the fields? I never knew it was called a wheel line. That's awesome.
So yeah, when I was 12 years old, I was just finishing school. The last day of school, my dad comes home from work and he looks at me and he says, get up tomorrow at 5:30. You're going to work. And so that's how I started moving wheel lines. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, I would get up every morning at 5:30 and go move my wheel lines. And then we also grew sugar beets. So I would walk up and down the rows of sugar beets with a hoe. Yeah.
What's the difference between a beet and a sugar beet?
Sugar beets are grown entirely for making sugar. So they're not good to eat.
No way. Okay.
A sugar beet is about the size of your head.
What?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about Angular, but now I'm really
talk about sugar beets.
That's how they go ahead, please.
No, yeah. No, ask your questions. But
are sugar beets I think my understanding of sugar beets is that they're used for animal feed, or am I?
They can be used for animal feed, but they definitely make sugar out of them.
Interesting. Okay.
And so.
If it's not pure cane sugar, it's.
Yeah, it might be sugar beets.
Beet sugar.
Yeah. And they're huge. They grow weeds in the middle of them. Now things are a lot more modernized. And one of the things that fascinates me is tech in farming.
Oh, yeah.
Like the amount of AI that goes into recognizing weeds so that equipment can spray.
Yeah, that's properly. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
But back then, the way you got rid of weeds in sugar beet fields is you hired people and you just basically walked back and forth up and down the rows and knocked down weeds with the hose, right?
That's all hard work. My husband did, he would walk beans. Mm-hmm. Like, because Iowa is soybeans and corn. And so he, almost every teenager in small town Iowa at some point has either done detasseling or walking the road, like walking beans, or they call it roguing, where if things are growing out of the row, they take it out.
Yeah. So, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm a city kid, so I did not, do any of that. But it's interesting to hear, like, it's hard work, man. They like get you up at the crack of dawn and load you in a truck with like one of those like big igloo containers of ice water. And then, you try not to pass out all day.
Yeah. Yep. That sounds very familiar. So I moved wheel lines at 5:30 in the morning and moved them again at about 6 p.m. at night, and then went home and went to sleep and got up and did it again the next day.
So. And plotted on how to never do this as an adult. So, exactly. Okay. So did you go to college for software engineering, or what was your route into writing code?
Yeah. So that's, so when I was about 8 years old, for Christmas, my parents bought, and this place doesn't even exist anymore, a Radio Shack TRS-80 color computer.
Yes.
Right. So, I started typing in BASIC, writing programs in BASIC way back when. And then I had a friend who got me into C++.
Nice.
I went to college, but I was studying electrical and computer engineering.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I decided I didn't like the math so much, and I enjoyed programming more. So mm-hmm. I started looking into programming. And then I started working for a company that was extremely predatory. And their goal was to take like juniors or people about to graduate from college, put them in a job, work them really, really hard so that they would stop going to their classes and have to drop out of college. And then, you know, basically try and trap you there, tell you where will you go. So I spent a lot of time in a very predatory company. I was doing surveys at the time, and I remember one of the surveys we did was for a travel company setting up vacations, and the salesperson had agreed to get the survey done in 3 days, and it's usually a week or two to do this.
Yeah,
I worked 80 hours straight, and went home and went to bed. And I went to bed. I remember it was like 3 a.m. when I went to bed, and I got a phone call at 9 a.m. the next morning saying, where are you? Why aren't you at work? That was when I was like, you know what? I need to reevaluate what I'm doing for life.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely. Well, and I think that younger engineers now, there are still places that are like that, particularly mm-hmm. not in the United States or places with stronger workplace protections and stuff. But I think it's easy to forget that a lot of people really burned out hard in those kind of positions, and that there sure. were companies that were really taking advantage of people. I see all these posts where people are like, oh, millennials don't take it. They say no to this. I'm like, good for them. You yeah. know, like no one should have to go through, like I put up with so much crap at jobs, you know, and it's just like, you get to where you're like, wait, why am I here?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and there were rough parts of it like that, but my trajectory into the web, I think, was much easier than the juniors mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
Like I talk to juniors now and they're like, you know, you have to be able to solve Google level problems. You have to be able to do this, 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 and this. And I'm like, when is a junior ever going to use this?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm more concerned about, hey, as a junior, can you learn?
Yeah.
If you honestly, can.
Yeah. That's honestly like when I'm looking to interview somebody, I'm like, I care less if they tell me they don't know something and more that they tell me how they might learn it, or, you know, it's like, I don't expect everybody to know anything, but yeah, when we were like, I know when, I have a feeling we're roughly the same age and, yeah. like
I'm
when
older.
The web, yeah, maybe now we're going to have a competition. but yeah, I remember like the internet, I mean, like it wasn't a thing when I was in high school.
Absolutely.
And now it's a thing. And honestly, in college, it was like, oh, you're in a job and they're like, oh, you know about this HTML stuff? Like, mm-hmm. can you make our website? And you're like,
will you
yeah,
build
totally.
This for us?
Exactly. Sure. You know how to communicate with our server and like, you know how to use Fetch? Oh my gosh, you're amazing.
Right. You know, like... Exactly. And then so... you're stuck trying to build a CGI bin directory where you have no idea what that even means.
Right, exactly.
Making lots of mistakes.
You're like, I yeah. saw this one cool thing over here, and you're like, I don't know how to do that.
Yep.
I'm
months.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's like we have all these like big frame, you know, we have Angular, we have mm-hmm. React, we have Vue. And I think there's sort of this basic level of expectation. Like it's really, there are a few people still who will be working at small companies and they're like, we need a web guy. Will you be the web person? And they're like, right. Sure, yeah, I'll see sure. what happens. And that's, yeah. that was me, mm-hmm. you know? But I think that it's, if you're trying to walk into a big company, there is some, a lot more basic information you're supposed to know up front.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, I think the benefit of coming up that way though, too, is like all the stuff you were exposed to. Like I did a whole bunch of stuff. I worked on Unix and Linux systems. I worked on embedded systems. I wrote Windows. I wrote, you know, Windows programs. I wrote my own version of sharing protocol to share files and information and stuff. Like I did all this stupid stuff, right? And right. I won't say it's stupid. I did all this crazy stuff, right?
Yeah. Fiddly.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, people are more specialized now.
Yeah. So on the topic of specialization, one of the things that you provide the community, which is invaluable, is that you write articles for NG Champions. Mm-hmm. And like, can you maybe like, what is NG Champions and sort of how does it work for you?
Yeah. I tell everybody that I don't have any real skills in life. I'm just really lucky. and I guess one of the other things that I do is, you know, they'll announce something. I'll be like, oh yeah, I can do that. And then some reason I volunteer for it before I've even thought it through.
Right. I'll totally write an article about that new feature I don't understand.
Right. So that's kind of how I wound up with NG Champions they announced it. NG Comp, hey, we're looking for people to write about Angular. And I was like, oh yeah, I could totally do that. And so I volunteered and NG Champions is it's a group of people sponsored by NG Comp. And, you know, we write articles for NG Comp about Angular or Angular related topics. You know, one of my articles is less technical and more about here's some ideas for how you can succeed in your career.
Nice.
And those kind of articles honestly scare me more than writing about Angular topics that I don't know.
I could see that. Yeah. Cause you're trying to give people advice based on what happened to you. And, you know, like from my perspective, I got super lucky, you know, like, well, mm-hmm. first of all, if you can have a friend who's the head of IT at a very small company that needs to hire a developer that doesn't care if you have any experience, then you got your gold, like right. you can go. And it's like, okay, so that's not going to work for everybody. So it is really hard to kind of suss out like, these are the things that I did that I think anyone can do. Yeah, I could see where that would be really stressful, where you're like, I want to give you advice, but I don't also want to assume you have all the same opportunities I had.
Exactly. So. It's you know, you want to recognize your privilege and be like, well, I got some of this stuff because of privilege. Mm-hmm. So what can I share that's going to help everybody, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah.
And so, yeah, we've had a couple of our other NG champions on.
We have. We just had Preston Lamb on, right?
Yeah, Preston yep. Lamb was on last season. Not to like tip our hand, but we've taped some episodes for later this season with some of the other NG champions. So
I don't want to tip your hand too much either, but I think one of the recent ones. I've been lucky in that recently when we're vetting new NG champions, Brianne Smithia, who's in charge of the NG champions, has sent me articles to read from people. And so, I've gotten to see and recommend some amazing people recently.
So what's that process look like? So
I'm curious. I didn't know there was a process. I thought you just kind of said, hey, all right. And so there is some sort of vetting, huh?
There is now.
Cool. That's fantastic.
When I joined,
back when they let Jason in, they just right. let anyone. Right.
And this is why
good thing you got in early, Jason.
Right. Exactly.
I'm kidding.
I do not deny that. Right. there are a lot of times where I am in places and I look around and I'm like, oh wow, there's one of my heroes. There's one of my heroes.
It's weird.
I don't
right?
belong here.
You like show up and you're do all belong. Weird and squirrely, you're good, like you've eaten a gummy or something, and.
But no, the vetting process, usually we get a recommendation from okay. somebody in the community. We'll recommend somebody to Brianne. And then, you know, there will be some research into things that they've written. And then, you know, we'll read the stuff that they've written. I've never said no to anybody.
Usually by the time I feel like that somebody's being recommended and they have like several articles, they're usually at least writing from a decent perspective, but, mm-hmm. I could see like where reasons you might say no is if, you know, you're just like not a good writer, you know, like if your writing is difficult to follow, I think would be feedback yeah. I would give, like, hey, maybe edit this and let's see. But
yeah, well, or very opinionated too, right?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just recently I was approached by somebody and, you know, they wanted me to share some controversial opinions about NGRX. And one, I didn't agree with what they were stating, but two, I don't want to give a platform for somebody who's going to be out there causing problems in the community, right?
Yeah. I could see that too. Or like if somebody just, I think it's okay to be opinionated, but mm-hmm. I think there have been people I've encountered who are so strongly opinionated that they're just mean to people that don't share their opinion. And I don't have mm-hmm. time for that. That's definitely something that, not okay.
that's a better way to put it. I totally agree with that. That people's strong opinions about Angular have led to Angular 14 and 15, which are two yeah. of the best releases ever, right?
Yeah.
In general, my belief is that if somebody is out there creating content for the community, they're making the community better. And anything I can do to help elevate them, or not even elevate them, but amplify their voice, or so, you know, when I see new content creators out there, I'm always trying to retweet their stuff and make sure that everybody sees it and things like that.
Yeah, definitely amplifying voices mm-hmm. and it also makes it easier to learn Angular, right? When I first picked up Angular, I had to use Angular 1 because I wasn't confident enough to go off in the wilds of Angular 2 because it was a brand new baby at that time. There wasn't mm-hmm. a lot of content out there. No, and so
that's right.
I was not a good enough developer to figure it out. Like I was over my head almost every single day. And so I needed those guide rails of the community to help me understand how to solve my problems.
Like Angular 2 from Angular 1 was such a drastic change in thought.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, and I barely understood Angular 1, you know what I mean? Like it was like just having that, so putting that content out into the community, it makes people more able to work in Angular and to use Angular and to pick it up and use it as a tool, as opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, being like, oh, well, yeah, there's this really cool tool, but we're not going to tell you how to use it. No one's going to make content. It just makes it completely unapproachable. I do need to shout out to Brianne Smithia real quick. She's basically our podcast mom. So she makes sure that we go to our meetings and helps us book our amazing guests.
We do call her mom. I mean, she is the podcast mom. I mean,
it's awesome. Podcast mom. But she also does so much more for the community, like, mm-hmm. Organizing NG champions. And also she helps a lot with NG Conf. So is also really exciting.
Wait. Pause. Shout out. Should we do a shout out for ngconf?
Definitely.
Yeah. So I think Jason, you already mentioned those ng champions is a group of people creating all this really great content around Angular and stuff. And obviously that works really well with ngconf because it's a conference about helping people learn and meet mm-hmm. people and have fun and learn about Angular. So Jason, you've been to ngconf. Yeah.
I've been to every single NG Comp since it started.
What?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Amazing.
That's I've still got cool. the little stickers from the first one when they did all the little. So Angular's code names in the beginning used to be like these weird superhero names, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I've still got all the little stickers from the first NG Comp. So.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, the tour heroes, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. When is NG Conf? I forget. I got to pull up the website.
It is
the in June.
Workshops start on Monday, June 12th.
And 12th through the 13th. So there's 2 days of workshops.
And I have a workshop on Intro to Angular. And Brian, I believe you have a workshop as well.
Advanced RxJS. Wait, you're doing the Intro to Angular this year?
I am.
You did the AWS pipeline?
I did that last year. And then this year they were like, I think it's time to bring back the Intro to Angular. And so, I'm really excited That's about awesome. It. I've been working
on
it.
I did the Intro to Angular for 2 years in a row. Yeah. And then I was like, I kind of want to get into like the RxJS stuff. So then I started doing that one. But that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited. I was thinking about how to teach it and I figured it out this weekend, like how to approach it. Cause I don't want to just walk through the tour of heroes.
I can send you my old stuff. You know what I mean? It's old. I mean,
I think I want to what I basically want to do is break it down. Cause like, I didn't understand when I first started writing Angular that an Angular component is really just a TypeScript class, you know, like those component properties, they're just class properties. Like, oh gosh, amazing. Yeah, yeah. You know, like I figured all that stuff out way too late. And so I think I have a good way to break it down, but yeah, definitely. So we've got the 2 days of workshops, Monday and Tuesday.
Yep.
And so Brian, I know that your RxJS workshop is amazing. Last year it was packed. And so that is,
We had a good crowd last year. I think it was like 60 people at least, something like that.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be had there. And then once we get through the workshop days, now the workshop days do cost extra.
Yes.
On top of the price of the ticket. But then this year I know that, there will be 2 days of conference. So that will be Wednesday and Thursday. So that will be the 14th and the 15th.
And the sessions are up on the website already. Yeah.
We've got a bunch of new speakers. I'm super excited because one of my teammates, who actually is on my team at Cisco, Anthony Scartapane, is selected. So he'll be talking about. I'm so excited. Like, it's kind of like I encourage like everyone to apply. And so, and you know, I don't have any ability to make them pick, you know, like they, they did the selection process, you know, like, I don't remember. I think it was Aaron and Frosty probably did the final selections, but it's just exciting when people you like get through. And there were so many great topics suggested this year though, that did not get through. And it's just cause we have so much great content out in the community.
And it's only 2 days this year.
And
right?
It's only two days. So one of the things they did this year is sort of in response to looming recession concerns about budgets. They shrunk the conference down to 2 days so the tickets can be a little cheaper. So it's
affordable. That's nice though.
So definitely if you are on a team and you think it would be good for your team to go to the conference, check out, they do there are rates, like corporate rates, to send a whole team, and the prices are reduced from previous years. I know when I went in like 2017, it was, the tickets were pricey. But totally worth it. Like, that actually was sort of a turning point in my career, going to my first conference, Angular conference.
The hallway track.
Yeah, totally. And just honestly, just realizing that there was this community out there, because I was alone, my sad little lonely self. None of my friends are software engineers. Like, the closest I have are people that work in IT. And really, a network administrator and a software engineer are not the same thing.
Yes. That sounds like the intro to a joke. Like, a network administrator and a software engineer walk into a pot shop to buy Delta 8. And then what happens?
And the software engineer goes crazy and hides in the bathroom for 3 hours.
I'm looking through the sessions. Man, there's some great content here. Stoked about Ankita. I don't know if I've met her before, but auxiliary routes, the Ant-Man of Angular routing. That sounds awesome. There's some great ones here, so I'm
like, Craig Spence will be back. I don't know if any of you caught Craig's talk last year, but it was like like the production was wild. Like it, I'm very excited for whatever he pulls together. So no pressure, Craig. Like
you better bring it, Craig. You better bring it, man.
You better live up to
we expect goodness.
Exactly. One other thing to mention.
I'm gonna say real quick, John Papa's gonna be there. He's going to do some GitHub AI and VS Code stuff, which looks awesome.
Yeah. And then Yuri Strumpfloner. Good Lord, I cannot say his last name, but Yuri.
I think you did good. Yeah.
He's going to be there. And like, he is really smart. He had some really amazing, I got to see the proposals like early on, and he had a couple of really amazing ones that I was like, can we just have like him do a whole conference? Cause I would listen to all of these. And honestly, there were a bunch of them like that where I'm like, damn, I want all these.
They have a conference. It's called NXConf, and he can do a whole track there.
And Yuri is starting to stream again. So
yes. Yeah. And he like, so he has a whole, like his talk will be fine tuning your Angular workflow with NX beyond the CLI. And that I'm like, I'm there for that. Cause that has really changed. Like, that's a game changer if you aren't using NX with your Angular application and you're kind of need some help.
So, yeah,
that's true.
So it's a great lineup. So yeah, you should go.
Check it out. Get your ticket.
I did want to shout out that they're doing everything online too.
Oh yeah.
And if you're in a Latin American country as part of the Spanish meetup, they're offering discounted online tickets through the
meetup. Nice. So that's fantastic.
NGConf does a lot of amazing things just around the world to help out communities.
They really do.
And it just honestly, like, I think last year was the first in-person conference, the one back in September, NGConf 2022. And it was like a family reunion. I've literally never met any.
September?
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It feels like a long time ago, but now it's like, okay.
No, it's so weird. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it just like, so full disclosure, I'd never met anyone in the Angular community in person. I think I awkwardly cornered Frosty at 2017 and was like, we should plan a 5K run up to the Capitol and back. That would be fun. And then I like kind of scurried off because I was so nervous.
Wait, did they do it?
I don't think so, but I would like to organize that. I would do that. I'd be down for that. It is 5K from the hospital or the hotel up to the Capitol. It's a beautiful view up there.
I think one year there was just like a group of folks, like an ad hoc running thing. Like I think they put on like there's a Slack channel or whatever, Discord. I don't know what they're gonna do, but anyways, you know what I mean? It's just like, hey, if you want to join us like tomorrow morning, like we're gonna go for a run. So like that stuff happens too organically.
Yeah. Like our team walked up to the Capitol, because Cisco sent a bunch of people last year and we went up to the state capitol. And at the state capitol, there was another person from NGConf and he did magic for us.
Nice.
Yeah,
we got like a personal magic show up at the state capitol at sunset. So it was pretty nice.
You just never know what's going to happen at NGConf.
You never know what's going to happen or who you're going to meet or what connections you might make. You know, like really it's a great place to, I haven't met anyone that's just like straight up mean to me. So that's nice.
Good. No, I'm glad to hear that.
We say this a lot, but I've been in a lot of different programming communities. The Angular community is truly the nicest I've been a part of.
It's the dopest.
Yeah,
I think so. I really agree. Cause like, I've definitely been to, my only exception would be like, if you ever go to like a UX meetup, like the UX designers, like those people are social and they will like make you participate.
Really?
It's a little like,
I've never been to a UX. Now I want to go.
I was going to get on meetup.com and
see if I can find a UX meetup.
Cool. Exactly. Yeah. Cause I would go to
like
one
brewery or like what happens right? I'm curious.
Well, here's the difference. Like I used to go to this Java user group. You go and they're like, you sit at a table awkwardly with other people and they're just as nerdy and introverted as you are. And you all sit there and you eat your pizza and you like maybe ask a question or two. Yeah. I sat down at the UX group and they're all like, hi, my name's Mike. I work for John Deere. Like, what do you do? What's your name? Awesome. Like, do you like to roller skate? Yeah. I'm like, oh no, like this is like, this is kind of a lot, but yeah, they were like,
yes, I love to roller skate.
I'm like, I do. I'm the one weird, slightly introverted, extroverted, like software engineer. So I'm totally going to talk to you, but yeah.
That's awesome. So. Jason, are you going to NGConf this year? Are you going to be there, man? I mean, you've been
there. I will be there this year. I will be there this year.
Absolutely awesome. Cool, man.
So yeah, one of the benefits of being one of the NG champions is if you produce enough stories, NG Conf will provide you a ticket. So
that's what? Awesome. I didn't know about that. That's legit.
It is.
That's
legit.
Like I don't know how much a ticket is. Like
right now, $800, $700. Yeah, this year. I can't see it. Yeah, it's like 900.
Register. Let's try this.
Yeah. If you go through register, it's currently $999.
But
definitely subscribe to the Twitter, to NG Conf on Twitter, because they do tweet out and actually sign up for the newsletter, because they do send out discount codes and coupons as well.
Yeah.
And then there's like an in-person block.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, like it's not cheap, but it's
totally worth it.
I
think a lot of times, I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think a lot of times, like a lot of companies have like training budgets, right? And so, you know, if you're interested in going to the conference, it's not like you have to necessarily pay for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, go talk to your folks and see if there's because some people don't even know that. Like at some companies, you have like a couple thousand dollars a year that you're allowed to spend on like professional development, whether that's books or courses or whatever it is, right? And so a lot of times like a conference will fit into that.
Definitely. That's how I went the first time. I actually got a really crappy raise. Like I got a super crappy raise and I'm like, well, I'm not happy with this raise you gave me, but
I want to go to this conference.
Yeah, why don't you send me to this conference instead? And they're like, okay. And I think it was
that it's a win-win for company though, right? Because like you want your people are like your best thing most times about a company. And so like you want to have your people like learn the latest Angular and best practices. So that way you're building high quality software. So that way you can like make more widgets and make more money or whatever. Right?
Exactly. So,
or
at least have like the ability to know what's coming. Like, I think that's the great thing, like going to, and even like rolling it back to the Angular meetup, which you help with, co-organize it. It's like, if you can't make it to the conference, like check out some of those meetups. I did a couple months ago with, I can't even remember who was there. I know that Ward was there. Minko was there. And we were talking, and then there was another woman and I can't remember her name.
I get her name wrong. She's the head of engineering at GitHub.
Yeah. And she was fantastic as well. And we were talking about like what you can do, things to do and not do in your career. Right. So
it was awesome. You guys did amazing.
I thought it was really great. Not to toot my own horn, but just the input from my fellow panelists was great input. And it's an opportunity just to kind of meet people in the community, because it is a smaller group of people and there is that opportunity to literally ask questions of people on the Google team, people who wrote a library, people who you see on Twitter all the time. I think that was what surprised me the most about the Angular community, is that once I started interacting in it, it was like, oh, you've always been here, right? I'm like,
right.
No, I'm new here and I'm awkward.
But everybody's, I mean, I think a lot of people, like, it's very inclusive. Like, you're welcome, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that's one of the things that's cool about ng-conf and the community, is like you can show up and like meet people and hang out and have fun, go for a run to the Capitol, you know, all that stuff. So
I
totally agree. And you know, ng-conf is amazing because you have your heroes will be sitting there by themselves at breakfast or at lunch, right? And you just go sit down and start talking and you'll have a great conversation.
It's so weird, like they're actual human people and you're like, oh, I can actually talk to you. Like that's so weird. So yeah, I definitely get like imposter, like rock star syndrome going on where, but I can confirm, like I have this policy of like, you never meet your idols, like don't meet rock stars, cause they're almost always going to disappoint you, but I've never been disappointed by anyone in the community. So that's good.
That's good. Cause I mean, sometimes, you know, you might meet somebody that might turn out to be
There might be people that are jerks.
There might be people.
Like maybe they have like a little on and like, maybe you their response isn't what you think you might want to get, but you also have to understand where people are coming from. Right. Like Maybe somebody is introverted and has a lot of anxiety, like, and they're not going to talk to you. That doesn't mean they don't like you.
Or they ate a whole bear that morning. Not feeling very good.
Maybe they're riding that Delta 8 train and they just need to be alone back right now and hold and check their pulse.
Well, and I can speak to that a bit because my online persona is way different than my public persona. I'm much more introverted and I prefer to, you know, I prefer to be, you know, kind of just part of the crowd. And
I get that.
Sometimes, you know, when you meet people, sometimes you just have to realize that, you know, it's like the child TV stars, right? That everybody wants to meet them and think that they're just like the person they play on TV, right?
Yeah. So funny story about that. I used to tape this children's show for public access television in Iowa That's City awesome. Called Funsville.
Wait. I knew you worked in public television for a while, like, because we did a whole, remember, didn't we do like a whole series where we like talked about our history and this.
Yeah.
But tell us, Funville?
Funsville. Yeah. This was a public access channel. Yeah.
Okay.
FUNZVILL.
Funsville.
And it was through public access television in Iowa City. So public access television, if you're lucky enough to have one in your city, means they usually have some ability for you, the citizen of that area, to submit content for their channel, right? And so we would film this children's TV show. And my character was named Tippy, and I was, outgoing, extroverted. It seemed like I liked to have a lot of fun. And I remember some poor guy came up to me at a rock show one time and he's like, "It's Tippy from Funsville." And I'm like, "It's me." And he's like, "Do you want to get dressed up and go bowling sometime?" And I'm like, "I don't like to have fun as much as you think I do."
Oh no.
And so,
I'm trying to find this on YouTube and there's just too much Funsville out there.
Yeah, let me find the link. There's not a whole lot that exists.
I searched for Funsville and all, like, it's not giving me the Z, it's giving me all kinds of Funville stuff. And like, I don't want Funville, I want Funsville.
Yeah. And my friend Adam Burke had digitalized a bunch of it.
This is all recorded on it was all recorded on like VHS tape stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not trying to reveal. Maybe your age or anything there, you know.
I literally have a closet full of three-quarter-inch VHS tapes.
So, wow.
Yeah. If you are familiar with VHS formats, what you normally get are half-inch.
The big things, right? Yeah,
these are like the big ones that are like the grandpa or grandma to the
I've ever seen one of those. Cause like, I remember I'm old enough where like we used to rent, you know, movies, we go to like Blockbuster or whatever. So, did you know the last Blockbuster is here in Bend, Oregon?
Like oh, nice. The last is that the one where you can like spend the night?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure.
An Airbnb one as well. This is Robot Time. This is the only one I can find.
All right, we'll get this for the people listening. We'll get this in the show notes.
Robot. I feel like that's where I did like Magic Pants. Oh, the quality is so terrible because we were like shooting it. They had cameras and we would shoot it and it was all analog and we were like mixing it with like crappy like 80s digital effects. It was something else, but
holy shnikes.
I don't think
okay
anymore. Anyways.
I feel like we got off track. We got off track there though. That was fun.
We're talking about the really important stuff though, and that's what matters.
So we've talked about ngConf, Jason. We talked about ng champions and the Angular meetup. We talked about if I want to be an ng champion and I want to write and get a free ticket to ngConf, maybe, or whatever, if I meet the criteria. How do you go about doing that? Is there like an email that you can drop? How do you apply? How do you get the ball rolling on that?
I'm actually not sure. Brianne could probably answer that question better than me. My suggestion is just to find an NG champion.
Okay.
Talk to them and then A lot of indie champions have suggested people that we've reached out to. So yeah, if you're interested in doing it, definitely reach out to one of the indie champions. We're always looking for people with new perspectives and
cool.
Yeah, because even if you've read an article that's like, you know, for example, if you're talking about like the new inject function or something, mm-hmm. right? Like just because you've read something about it or seen other content about it, it doesn't mean you don't have a different way to describe it.
Yeah, good unique perspective or a way that you solved it or a way to teach it that's different, right?
Well, that's
really fair, because one of the things that I struggle with streaming and creating blog posts is you always feel like you've got to produce something that nobody's ever seen before, right?
Yeah.
But it's that basic content that everybody is looking for, right?
Yeah.
They want, you know, how do I do the basic stuff in Angular, and where can I bookmark this so that I can come back to it later?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like, you know, Brian taught the intro to Angular workshop before. I'll teach it a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have some overlap in content because we're talking about the same stuff. And honestly, even if you're just writing articles that are very similar to something somebody else wrote for your own development, like I find that just taking a topic, having to deep dive into how something works, mm-hmm. and being able to clearly speak or write about it.
Yeah.
Like the depth of knowledge you'll have.
You learn a lot, right?
You learn so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to learn something like, let's learn dependency injection in Angular. Like I could give I could give you a rough description of it, but if I write an article about it, I'm going to be really digging into the topic. Right. And so,
and maybe some of the technical terms around it, like, okay, you know what, this is an injector, or why that is called that, or how that behaves. Cause otherwise maybe you haven't just had the need to describe it before. And so,
yeah,
you pick up some knowledge that way.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
Or, you know, if you like, so, you know, like if you're trying to think of like, what could I possibly write about, you know, just think about like, what's something you found confusing?
Yeah,
right?
That's a great point.
Yeah. Like what's a topic you, what's something that you had to do at work? What's something that you just thought was interesting and what, you know, like there, cause there's all these like weird little quirks in the Angular framework. And you may not know about it until you're like, oh, it took me a long time to understand that there's like an initial null value in the async pipe.
Right.
And it's like, that explains so much. Right. So like, there's these like little eccentricities that you can dig into and explain to people, and you grow, they grow, everybody's happy.
So,
definitely.
Or, yeah. Even, you know, along the lines of the async pipe, that the async pipe isn't pure.
Yeah.
You throw that at a lot of people and they're like, what?
Like, what? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it just, it's a fast return. So it doesn't matter. Right. Mm-hmm. So. So I just, I think it's great. I love everything you're contributing to the community.
Yeah. Said, I want to second that, man. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I like the blog articles, the meetup, everything. It's fantastic. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
you. So let's say somebody's like, I would like to be an Angular champion, and I'm going to reach out to Jason.
Yeah.
How would they do that?
My DMs are always open on Twitter.
Okay.
And I will.
Yeah. What's your tweet handle?
It's at XOCOMIL _1.
XOCOMIL _1. What is that?
It's a Mayan word. It's chocomil.
Chocomil.
Okay.
That's how it's pronounced.
Now you get those X's in there, and I just poor like Iowan brain is
zocomil.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and you know, a lot of people mispronounce it. That's not, you know, and you know, a lot of people will ask me, you know, where did it come from or things like that. But really,
that's cool.
My DMs are open. You're welcome to reach out. You know, I'm happy to talk to people. I get a lot of people, and you know, I streaming on Twitch has also got a lot of people just coming and talking, right? And so that's the thing I love about producing content is that the majority of people are amazing and they really do have amazing insights. Yeah, reach out. I'm happy to talk to you about it and I'm happy to get you in contact with Brianne.
Cool.
You know, we can move forward from there.
Definitely. Awesome. And also I think they could probably reach out to you as well if they have a topic they'd like to discuss at one of the meetups.
Absolutely. I would be happy to point them to our CFP. Our CFPs are always open. One of the things that we pride ourselves on at the meetup is being a platform for new speakers to get started.
Yes.
Nice. So we're always looking for new speakers to come and give talks.
I love it. So go follow Jason, go check out his blogs. You can go to ngconf.org to register for the conference. You can also go to the blogs that way. I think it's down in the footer. You can check it out. If you want to check out the meetup, it's angularcommunity.net. Go check that out. We're going to drop some links in the show notes as well. And then go check out Laura's Funsville video. It'll blow your mind. Robot time. And then also Jason's on Twitch as well. So same Chocomil?
Chocomil.
Cool. Yeah, so X-O-C-O-M-I-L. So check out what Jason's doing over on the Twitch and on the tweets. And really appreciate you coming on the show today, Jason. Thank you for everything you do for the community. It's awesome. So looking forward to continuing to check out your articles. And we'll definitely see you at NGConf. So
yeah.
And we'll see you there too, Laura.
I will be there too. I just got my
plane. You kind of have to be.
It'd be weird if I wasn't there, honestly.
Yeah. Awesome. Go get your tickets. Check out Jason's stuff. Sign up to be an NG champion. And keep listening to this podcast. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed. And to the listener, we'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Preston Lamb, one of the NG Champions writers. In our daily battle to crush out code, we run into problems, and sometimes those problems aren't easily solved. NGConf broadcasts articles and tutorials from NG Champions, like myself, that help make other developers' lives just a little bit easier. To access these articles, visit medium.com/NGConf.
Thank you for listening to the Angular Plus Show, an NGConf podcast. We would like to thank the NGConf organizers, Joe Eames and Aaron Frost, our producer, Brianne Smithia, our sponsors, and our podcast editor and audio engineer, Patrick Hayes. You can hire him and find him everywhere on social media at Pat John Hayes. This podcast was mixed and mastered by Spoonful of Media. You can find out more information about their work and the services that they offer by going to spoonfulofmedia.com.